The Majority Report, where every day is casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. Even Saturday and Sunday are casual. Sorry, Jesus. So don't forget your denim hip huggers. Don't forget your bootcut jeans. We're not afraid of dungarees on the Majority Report.
All right, it is Friday, February 4th, 2011. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. It's casual Friday, folks. If you don't realize that after a minute long, a 14-minute long casual Friday introduction, then forget about it. You're never going to know. Those on the Sammy Cam can see that I have spent more time preparing than primping today. I'll be honest with you. I didn't shower. Not embarrassed to admit it. It's casual Friday. I have to have a certain amount of integrity on this day to being casual. Very excited. Today, my daughter is going to be in a play. It's sort of like a play. I mean, she's five. So it's like she's in an after school program, and maybe I'll play a clip of that. I've got so much material for you today, folks. I don't know how it's going to work out. We're going to have to keep Chris Rosen from whatever that website he works at now, that movie website. We're going to have to keep him. We're going to have to put him. We're going to have to squeeze him out a little bit because we've got so much to cover in Egypt right now. It has been. Up until just, I think, moments ago, far less violent. It continues to be far less violent than it was past nights. There are reportedly 1 million people in Tahrir Square. There are less than 7 million occupants of Cairo. One-seventh of the population of Cairo is in has come out to these protests. And there does not seem to be the same presence as of yet of pro-Mubarak thugs. I don't know what to call these people. They're gangs that include interior ministry policemen in plain clothes. And then just one blogger just referred to them as just arseholes. Just basically paid hooligans. And just running down the quick stories for you last night, New York Times reported that the Obama administration was discussing with Egyptian officials a proposal for Mubarak to resign immediately and turn over power to a transitional government.
I don't think so.
By Vice President Omar Suleiman. You know, the guy who professionally tortures people.
A cab driver last night referred to him as the dictator of dictators.
Who's Suleiman?
Suleiman.
And with the support of the Egyptian military, it would be Suleiman and Lieutenant General Sami Anan, chief of the Egyptian Armed Forces, Field Marshal Mohammed Tantawi, the defense minister, and... You know, I had a great conversation with Juan Cole for Ring of Fire this weekend. One segment of that, there's an extra segment that will be on the ringoffireradio.com site. So it's worth checking that out. And, you know, he said that there is, that the U.S. has a better relationship with the sort of the military, the straight military, as opposed to sort of the internal forces that Suleiman would have backed. And so there is some balance of power there. But as of this morning, The Obama administration claimed that was just one idea that was out there. There were many others that were involved. The proposal also calls for the transitional government to invite members from a broad range of opposition groups, including the banned Muslim Brotherhood. And I've been doing quite a bit of reading on the Muslim Brotherhood. And, you know, sentiment seems to be cautiously optimistic in terms of how much freedom, what kind of society that if they were an opportunity to help create would be created. Just in terms for the Egyptian people themselves, because the Muslim Brotherhood is not exactly hugely popular in Egypt. In fact, this morning on national Egyptian television, they brought on a guy who was purportedly the leader of the protest, and which Al Jazeera was, when they first heard those reports, were sort of shocked that national TV would bring on this guy. And then as the interview progressed, he revealed that he was from the Muslim Brotherhood, or supposedly, which I think is somewhat suspect that the national media, and by national media, I mean the government-run media, controlled obviously by Mubarak, or elements of the Mubarak regime, because we've already had examples of people quitting that that national station because they didn't want to be involved in this type of propaganda. So when they bring somebody on from the Muslim Brotherhood, I think the calculation there is we want to scare the large swath of the Egyptian population that if you lose Mubarak or any or a semblance of a Mubarak regime, you're going to get Sharia law or some form of a Muslim Brotherhood. And so, you know, it's really unclear. I've read things that suggest that there is, you know, there are hardliners, there are moderates, there are liberal Muslim Brotherhood. But they have definitely been peaceful in the past 40 years. And they're not looking to impose an Islamic society if that is against the will of the people. Now, who knows what that means? But just putting it out there, you know, it's not really our – I'm just giving you information. I'm not making a judgment as to who Egypt should have running it. But it's very hard to deny a million people in downtown Cairo – whether they're Muslim Brotherhood or they're secularists and just want democracy. Meanwhile, CNN reports that the brutal crackdown on journalists, 26 were beaten up, 30 were arrested, 8 having their equipment seized. And you got to remember, there's not a lot of journalists in – that could be the – you know, that could be pretty close to the entirety – those type of numbers. The crackdown on these was, according to CNN, perhaps at least the U.S. Embassy suspects that the Ministry of the Interior, which would be sort of like the functional, like the something to the effect of like the internal police, again, was responsible for that. They're calling today these million protesters the Day of Departure. And in a strange development, Silvio Berlusconi shows up, I think, in Egypt. I'm not sure where he is, but he basically said that Mubarak was one. He came out with an incredibly pro-Mubarak statement today. This is while the UN and the U.S. are basically saying it's time for you to leave. Berlusconi shows up and says, Mubarak is one of the wisest of men. And so the speculation is, just to give you a sense of, you know, people think that we've got weird politics. Berlusconi apparently is involved in a massive scandal where he supposedly had an affair with a teenage prostitute and got her out of jail somewhere in Italy by claiming that she was Mubarak's grandchild. And reportedly, Mubarak was like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? Whether it's on Mubarak claims he only has one grandchild. And if by chance this was his grandchild, apparently Mubarak did not want it widely disseminated that his grandchild is a teenage prostitute who's having an affair with Silvio Berlusconi. So there's some speculation that Berlusconi did this as a way of saying, you know, my bad, let me give you a solid. I don't even know how to respond to that. And the crowd in Tahrir Square has been chanting and singing. A million people. They've been chanting En Nahar Da, which is today, today, today. And we will see, what is happening. Supposedly there are some clashes between anti-Mubarak protesters and these government thugs away from Tahrir Square. But that's the update for now. And just you should know, on the U.S. side, apparently there was a resolution put forth in the Senate by John McCain and John Kerry saying that Mubarak should step down. And in Senator Patrick Leahy, chairman of the Senate panel that controls foreign aid, says he's prepared to stop all U.S. financial assistance to Egypt, which was apparently over $1.5 billion last year, unless Mubarak steps aside immediately. Of course, Republicans in the House, Tom Cole, who heads a similar committee, says that it's premature to make any decision on aid to Egypt. The right wing is completely it's just bizarre to hear them talk about this. You know, there was a moment yesterday where Rush Limbaugh went on and was like, Anderson Brady gets beat up, oh, boo-hoo, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Like, he just goes on this protracted thing, and then till later in the program it's reported that someone from Fox News got beat up, where he's like, I of course, was joking before. This is a horrible thing to have happen, and we don't want any journalists, even the New York Times, to get beat up. I mean, they do not know how to deal with this. The Glenn Beck stuff, I mean, I would play it, but I would have to just play the show. And so I would encourage you to go find the Glenn Beck, anything he's doing on it. It is sheer insanity. Like, you know, people have speculated in the past, yes, I think he's a showman and whatnot. This guy is off his meds, on the wrong meds. He's got a blackboard with little, like Velcro cardboard cutouts of fire. And he's just going through the entire map of the continents of Europe, North Africa, and East Asia, and just pointing at fires and showing, see, it starts here and then it goes here. He's just basically like trying to illustrate that all of these countries are either contiguous if you go along, or are only, you can leapfrog little bodies of ocean water. And he's just saying, this is how the caliphate starts. It is, and getting more exasperated. Like, you don't you understand? This country is next to this country, and that country is next to that country, as if there's no other, as if it's like weather, like literally like a rainstorm, but is even untethered from sort of winds and pressure systems. It's fascinating.
Did you see that picture? I don't know if it was AP or New York Times, I forget who, but of the Christian Egyptians making a human chain around the,
yes,
the
and apparently, well, we read that IM that so what's happening in Egypt is it may be contagious in some respects, but in the Sudan apparently there was an uprising, it was just immediately crushed, but in Jordan, in Syria, in Algiers, we're seeing unrest. Who knows what will happen? And in some countries, I think it was Yemen, they're paying checks, you know, like $4,000. Everybody just won the lottery. So it's fascinating to see what happens. But so Republicans and right-wingers are just completely up in arms. And it's interesting to see just from a media perspective what's happening. Like, you know, CNN is doing quite well right now. Rachel Maddow and Ed Schultz, who are doing almost constant coverage of this, what's happening in Egypt, because they've got Engel there, who's quite good on the ground. And both, I noticed, Ed and Rachel had on the guy Kikoudis from Kikoudis from Democracy Now, and he's in Tahrir Square. And so it's fascinating to watch this, because and then of course you're seeing the right wing also now claim that Obama, I think we read this yesterday, Obama has lost Egypt to the Islamists. One minute it is they're praising George Bush for invading Iraq and bringing about this democracy in Egypt, and then the next minute they're saying Obama has really blown it. So it's fascinating to see this, because at the end of the day, folks, I don't think that there's much that we can do at this point. And if I was in the Obama administration, I would certainly think twice before I got too aggressive for calling for Mubarak to step down, because, I mean, me personally, I think there's probably also sort of some government, and we'll talk later in the show, you have people like the Chamber of Commerce who have been actively out there promoting the Egyptian regime for weeks. But I would be worried about the implications of being seen meddling in the affairs of Egyptian of any countries that are outside of ours. Now, it's clear that Mubarak is a dictator at this point, and his people seem to want him to go. So we will get to that. And I don't know. I got a quick story about Donald Rumsfeld, but I suppose I can sum it up with this by simply saying, guess what, folks? Donald Rumsfeld's still a dick. Excerpts from his memoirs are coming out. And he turns out he's still a dick. Who knew? But next week, hopefully, in the next week or so, we're going to have Stephen Elliott on, who's also coming out with a competing Rumsfeld memoir, which is far more interesting to me. We'll be right back. It is a Casual Friday. Jimmy Ray from Cakes got to ask. He said, man, how'd you get that job? I said, how did you get that job? All right, on the phone-ish. You know, I forgot to give you the I can't even see you today.
But yeah, I know. You didn't do it right. But that's okay. Sitting in the dark. I'm sitting in the dark anyway. It's fine.
Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. I would have to end the call to actually see you. All right.
Don't worry about it.
It's probably better not.
I'm in the dark anyway, so it's fine.
Now, someone had asked me to ask you a question about, what was it? Do you remember what it was, Dorsey? No, we can't remember. You can't hear Dorsey now.
No, I heard Dorsey say I can't remember, but I'd love to know. I love taking audience questions, Sam, so anytime, you know.
Gosh, I think it was actually a good question. Oh, I know what it was. The question was, do you think that because of the role that Facebook and Twitter has played in what's happening in Egypt and other places, that this may help that Facebook movie as an Oscar?
I don't think so, and I'm glad you bring that up, because that's actually the movie I'm going to recommend you watch on demand this week.
I already watched it.
Ugh, damn it, Sam.
I watched it already on demand.
You couldn't wait till Friday at least to pretend that you didn't watch it.
Oh, no. You know what it was? I didn't watch it on demand. I wouldn't have paid for that. I got it for free because I'm a member of SAG and AFTRA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We can hang out more.
Right. I got that for free. I got it. They sent it in the mail to me. And so
Your audience members who didn't get it for free and who didn't actually see it yet, The Social Network is on demand this week finally after coming out on DVD earlier in the month, and I would say it is definitely very worthy of your $4.99 purchase for Time Warner On Demand.
Yeah, I mean, if it was $3.99, I would definitely say definitely. No, but I thought it was a good movie. I mean, it was like
it's a very good movie. The problem is, I think I definitely don't think it's going to win the Academy Award. I think that the King's Speech is going to win now because that is where the momentum of that is going.
I got that in the mail too. I didn't even bother.
Well, that's going to end up winning. It got 12 nominations, you know, last week, and it got more nominations than Social Network. And it just is the type of typical, like, Oscar movie that is
going
to win.
Oh, wait a second. Did Social Network get nominated? Did the Oscar nominations come out?
Yeah, yes. Last week.
Sam Gaslin got nominated.
I knew the documentaries. I didn't realize.
Yeah, no, everything came out. Yeah, everything came out. So, yeah. That's okay. You know, the world is ending, you know, with Egypt and stuff. You got a lot on your plate. You can't be worried about the Oscars.
Right. Well, I mean, that was what you're for, but I guess... Wait, we did talk to you last week.
We did talk last week. You were just, you know, you were busy because you were in D.C. and stuff.
Yeah, and apparently the recording was horrible.
Yeah,
you know what we should have done with that? We should have probably edited that to the last part of the show as opposed to Wendell Potter, which was really interesting. But our conversation, when I heard it, was basically like you talking normal and me talking normal.
Okay, so, yeah.
So Social Network... I will.
Now, did you like it?
I will give that not a resounding, you know, it's not the Liberty Bell, but I'll give it a small bell. Because, yeah, I thought it was interesting. I mean, I like, you know, this was sort of like an action movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the fact that most of it takes place around, you know, deposition tables, and it's still incredibly watchable, I think is a credit to... I guess David Fincher and Aaron Sorkin's screenplay, it pops. It really does. There's a lot.
I mean, it's sort of like an action movie.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get really sort of like any deep emotional depth. But
I don't think so. I think if that's one of the criticisms of the movie, I think that's it. It's a lot of surface stuff. And I think that's probably because, you know, The Accidental Billionaires, which it's based on, the Ben Mezrich book, doesn't have really any information at all in it. And it's mostly like, you know, he talked to a guy who knew Eduardo Saverin, and then he probably talked to, like, Divya Narendra or whatever, and, like, wrote a whole book with, like, I think this happened. Mark Zuckerberg was probably thinking this. And it's like, you know, as a book, it's really shitty. But as a movie, it's fun because it's a movie. And you could, like, be like, okay, like, obviously it's not real. It's not a documentary. So it's fun.
Right. And I think everyone knows that I'm somewhat emotionally detached. So for me... I'm much more interested in the sort of systemic aspects and the sort of power dynamics and just sort of the physics of the whole thing, and I found it very interesting.
Yeah, and I enjoyed a lot of Jesse Eisenberg. I think is great in it, and I think it's very, you know, I think it's in the end, I don't think it's very negative toward Mark Zuckerberg at all, and I think that's probably why he's been slowly warming to it. And, like, you know, he was on Saturday Night Live last week with Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh,
you know, they had Jesse Eisenberg was host and they had Mark Zuckerberg come out and it was like kind of like, haha, this is really awkward. But at the same time, Mark Zuckerberg had like a big stupid grin on his face the whole time.
Yeah, I didn't think it made him look bad.
I don't think it made him look. Yeah, I didn't either. I thought it made him look fine. And, you know, I think it's a lot of fun. I don't know how much you know about the movie, but, you know, it's a really great movie. And on demand, you know, it's fun. I would suggest people getting on DVD because there's a whole bunch of, like, special features that explain how they did a lot of this stuff. And even though it's, you know, a talky movie around courtroom tables, it's very – a lot of technical, like, stuff went into it, especially with the twins, because that's not actually two twins. That's one guy that they, like, superimposed his face onto another actor.
Weird.
And it's really fascinating because you cannot tell. Like, obviously, you sounded shocked when I said that to you because you probably thought that I just found two blonde twins to play that role. The Winklevoss.
Wow, that is going to be bad news for twins that's twin actors who used to get all their work that way. God.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, another movie coming out.
There goes the Sklar brothers, any chance at a film career.
Yeah, totally, because, and, you know, it's in a catch-on.
They could just get one Sklar.
They really don't need two Sklars. That's it. They could just have one and then put glasses on another one. The same one, you know, whatever. Doesn't matter.
No, it was a good movie. I'm interested in it. I liked it. And, you know, I've actually, I think part of it is also because Kyle, who is responsible for our website and this new amazing Twitter technology that we have where you can actually allow the Majority Report. You can donate your Twitter account. It's almost like you can sort of lend slash donate your Twitter account on a regular basis. You don't have to do anything once you make a commitment. You should check that out. Kyle develops software, so it's interesting to watch him do it and know that that was part of the process, and one day Kyle could be, you know, a billionaire, and hopefully he will. I gotta get a new membership level if he becomes a billionaire. all right, so what do we got? So what do we got on Netflix now? I got a Roku now.
Oh, you do? Well, I wish I would have known that, because Netflix is really – I was just going to get on today and say how shitty Netflix is, because there's nothing on – I mean, they don't get new movies on there, so it'll be nice if we get to do Amazon now, I guess, right? And what else does Roku have?
Oh, yeah. Instead of we can do Amazon, Roku – I don't know. I've got all sorts of things I'm going to hack on it. You don't even have a Netflix streaming for me today? Don't
no,
you
I
ever
do.
Watch
I,
any
I,
of the documentaries or anything?
I
got a whole list of stuff in my queue that I want to watch, good documentaries.
I've been giving you documentaries every day, every week. I gave you Restrepo. I gave you Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Oh,
Joan
we
Rivers.
Watched Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Oh, what you think?
Nikki would not watch Restrepo because it's about war.
Right.
Exit Through the Gift Shop was amazing.
Yes.
I gave it 5 stars.
Wow.
I mean, 4 or 5 stars. And I will watch it again. I thought it was fantastic. I think it's definitely real to the extent that it's real, that anything is real. I mean, this guy clearly, I can tell you this, the guy clearly was I don't know if there are parts that are fictionalized, and I haven't had a chance to actually go online to sort of verify some of this, the art aspects. But this guy clearly did go around with his camera all the time. I mean, I'm not going to ruin it, but I'm just going to tell you, if you have the opportunity to see it, what's the name of it again?
It's Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Exit Through the Gift Shop. Watch it. Great.
Yeah, great movie. And it's up for an Oscar, obviously. And I think it might win. I really do. It's I think
so, too. I thought it was fantastic.
Which will be fun because then, you know, will Banksy actually go to the Oscars? I guess that's the big thing.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if Banksy is real.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if there is clearly – somebody did a documentary about a guy.
Right.
And everything.
Maybe there's like a lot of Banksys.
And they
all go under like the same badge like that.
I think that's probably true. And I think one guy assumed this and sort of did a documentary about a guy who was going around obsessively shooting video of other people and didn't know what to do with the footage. I mean, it's sort of like. It reminded me a little bit of, like, I could go and do a documentary about my buddy Ross Broccoli, who has made ostensibly 2 films, but literally 30 versions of each, and is still shooting them years after it.
Wow.
And there's just reams and reams of footage. And to go in and make a documentary about him and make me a slightly different character than who I am, I mean, it's interesting. It's a really interesting movie, and it's worth multiple views.
So, why don't we suggest that then? Because I think people would love – those are 2 strong movies we just suggested, the Exit Through the Gift Shop again and The Social Network.
Right.
I don't think you'd go wrong. I think The Social Network is incredibly watchable. I've seen it like 3 or 4 times, and it never – it's just a very quick watch, so I enjoy it.
I got to tell you, Chris, there are some people who suggest that because you haven't watched Battlestar Galactica that we should stop our conversations.
Who suggested that, Evan?
Multiple people. No, not Evan.
Multiple I'm supposed listeners. To watch it.
Multiple
I'm
listeners, because it really strikes to the credibility, your credibility.
No, I don't think it does. I've seen so much. It's on my list of things. I have to catch up.
Well, but what are you prioritizing? You're watching like crappy, the kids are all right or whatever it is, instead of watching Battlestar Galactica.
I have to watch everything, Sam, because there's a lot out there.
I got news for you, dude. You stop wasting your time watching Parks and Recreation.
No, Parks and Recreation.
And go watch
is very funny.
Battlestar Galactica.
I will. I'm going to watch. That's on my list for over the summer. That and Breaking Bad are 2 shows.
Over the summer.
Yeah.
It's February, for God's sake.
I know, but I got to watch the final season of Friday Night Lights. That's coming up.
What?
Great show.
Jesus.
Fantastic show.
You know what? Tell MovieLine.com if they want a new senior editor, they can look this way because. I wouldn't.
Yeah, you who didn't
you
know.
You should hope they don't hear this.
That's all right.
I give
but
that
I think
movie
we had a good
5 stars.
Today.
That's right. Yeah.
What's the name of that movie again?
Yeah, exactly. Unbelievable.
But I think we did well today. I think this was a good segment. We rebounded after last week.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a good segment, but I feel like I've carried most of it.
No, that's not true. I gave you Social Network, and I suggested Exit Through the Gift Shop, but you
never I've already seen both those movies!
That's not my fault. What, am I a mind reader? This is not Kreskin. This is Chris tells you what stupid movies to fucking DVR or whatever.
Jesus. We got to start doing this segment on Saturdays, I think.
You don't do a show on Saturdays.
Yeah, all right. There you go.
All right. Well, I think this is a lot of fun. Next week, I'd like to see you. You know, if I can't come down, I at least want to see your face. I miss that.
Yeah, I know. I miss that, too.
Yeah, that's fun. So,
All right, Chris Rosen.
MovieLine.com.
Suppose I was just going to do that.
Oh, you are? Well,
yeah,
and
I was going to mention... I was going to
mention. Wait, you do it.
I was going to mention that you're also supposedly the senior editor.
Senior editor.
All right.
So that's me, MovieLine.com. It's a lot of fun.
MovieLine.com. We'll see you later.
Big fans.
I said, how did you get that job?
That's right. That's the Chris Rosen theme song. You know, it gets more and more appropriate every week. But it's Casual Friday, folks. We keep it light. I got to say, though, that what was the name of that, the documentary that I through the
Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Excellent. Excellent. Really excellent. Really enjoyed it. And, you know, Rosen's credibility went up a little bit because, you know, I have to sell these to Nikki because she doesn't listen to the show. And so I have to go home and I sell these to Nikki, and to say that Chris Rosen was, it's just like, oh, really? All right, just heading back to Egypt for a minute. This is an interesting story. While Ghonim, who is a Google executive, has been missing in Egypt for since January 25, as reported by CBS News, has been appointed the spokesman of the country's 6th of April opposition movement. Now, the 6th of April opposition movement is considered a youth movement, a group of 70,000 mostly young and educated Egyptians who have the movement has only been a year old. It's basically centered around Facebook. It forms more or less spontaneously on Facebook last spring around an effort to stage a general nationwide strike. So, you know, there has been this going on in Egypt, but I guess people just didn't take it in any way seriously. Members coalesce around a few issues: free speech, economic stagnation, and government nepotism. And there is conjecture that Ghonim, who is Google's head of marketing in the Middle East, is being held by Mubarak's government, though the government has not confirmed holding him. And so the protesters, the 6th of April opposition group, elected Ghonim the group spokesman, sort of in absentia, and there's some speculation they did this as a way of making it clear that he, you know, putting more pressure on the Egyptian government because there's some suspect that he is being held by them. So just an interesting turn of events. And this story is from actually like a week ago now by Zaid Jalani at Think Progress. We became aware of the U.S., or I did anyways, of the U.S. Chamber's programs of AmChams, which are American Chambers, they call them. And these are basically foreign subsidiaries of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And you'll remember prior to the election, the Chamber of Commerce was being accused of using foreign money to buy ads essentially against Democrats, bashing them for supporting TARP, when, of course, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was one of the biggest TARP proponents beforehand, and spending somewhere between $40 and $70 million doing so of this foreign money. And the theory went like this. These AmChams contribute $40 or $50 million to the Chamber of Commerce, and then Chamber of Commerce turns around and spends $40 or $50 million on these ads and doesn't disclose where the money came from. So these AmChams, apparently there is an Egyptian foreign affiliate known as the American Chamber of Commerce in Egypt, known as AmCham Egypt. AmCham's Egypt relation to Mubarak stretches back decades. The Egyptian dictator even personally intervened to create the organization by giving it an exemption from Egypt's strict NGO law back in 1981. 75% of the organization members are Egyptian businesses. Many of them are also large Western multinational corporations. So last year, a group of U.S. senators led by Russ Feingold, who is no longer in the Senate, sadly, introduced legislation that would call on the government of Egypt to end crackdowns on pro-democracy activists and hold free and fair elections. AmCham Egypt, at the behest of the Egyptian dictatorship, sprung into action. The Mubarak regime tapped AmCham Egypt President Shafik Gabar to do its bidding. Gabar was dispatched to scuttle the bill. He arrived in Washington Wednesday to meet with members of U.S. Congress in an effort to persuade them to refrain from issuing a resolution demanding that Egypt hold fair elections, allow international monitoring of elections, and respect democracy and human rights. Gabar also happens to be a leading member of the ruling National Democratic Party, which is, I think, disbanded at this point, hasn't it? Or it was set on fire. Nobody's claiming to be part of that anymore in Egypt. And according to Think Progress, by asking a non-American who technically worked for a non-governmental organization to do their advocacy for them, the Mubarak regime successfully skirted numerous laws dealing with lobbying disclosure, making it easier to hide its role. And then AmCham Egypt hosted former U.S. Deputy Secretary of State John Negroponte. You'll remember John Negroponte, won't you? He wasn't aware of death squads in Central America. Had no idea they existed, despite helping facilitate their existence. He blamed the media for its sensational coverage of the Tunisian revolution. This is only 2 weeks ago. And said it was in American interest to continue to support our friends in the region, such as Egypt, Jordan, and Gulf countries. Chaos is in no one's interest, he said. He ended up saying that it was crucial for U.S. interest to continue to support our friends. And for Negroponte, it should be noted that he has a financial interest at stake in Egypt as well. He's on the board of Agility DGS, a defense company that has major operations in Egypt.
Surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise.
That deserved a double one. And then just to sort of round it out, the coda is, of course, in 2009, Fox News hosted that guy, Gabar, who's in charge of AmCham Egypt, and unflinchingly praised him.
Surprise,
surprise. So there you have it. The right wing has been just besides themselves to maintain this thing. You know, so and frankly, I was even unaware that Feingold had attempted to make a resolution like that a year ago. Just completely unaware. And now, ladies and gentlemen, since we have been talking so much about the area of the birth of civilization and not just the birth of civilization, but, you know, I guess, well, it's a biblical area. It's time now for readings from the Creationist Museum, Journey Through the Creation Museum, a book given to me by my brother-in-law, wherein I read excerpts for your listening pleasure. This is from the main hall. Did you notice the animatronic children have middle brown color skin? I'll repeat that so that you don't think that I am off my medication. Did you notice the animatronic children have middle brown color skin. As people find out later in the museum's Babel exhibit, all humans have one basic skin color. And Adam and Eve probably started out as middle brown. Middle brown, of course, being, as opposed to being, you know, dark brown. Black. They're Caucasian, but with pants. So let's head to the Tower of Babel, because Babel explains our differences. And I am looking at an image that shows the Tower of Babel somewhere, it just seems to be the right of Canaan, right at Aram, you know, to the left of Ashur. And the descendants of Shem seem to have gone south to the Arabian desert. The descendants of Ham, they went across the Suez Canal. I don't think it was built at the time. What day of the week was it that God built the Suez Canal? I don't remember.
Tuesday.
And the descendants of Japheth went north across Magog into, I guess they hadn't named that area yet. And so they explain the human race. All culturally unique, yet still belonging to only one race, the human race. The event of the Tower of Babel scattered people over the earth, resulting in isolated groups, each with distinct characteristics, as shown in these photos. It's a whole mixture of, this included everybody. Such differences resulting from the enormous created variability. The reason why I couldn't read that is because it is an interesting, very interesting sentence. Listen to this carefully. Such differences resulting from the enormous created variability of the human gene pool are only surface differences. You understand? It's created variability, not evolution. The major differences among the different people are simply cultural. As people groups settled throughout the earth, conquering their environments and developing new skills, one thing remained the same. They were still sinners in a fallen world. But on the next stage of the Seven Seas journey, God's answer for mankind's redemption would be revealed. And I should say that Seven Seas is not S-E-A-S. It is the seven major periods of history. Creation, corruption, catastrophe, confusion, Christ, cross, and consummation. And so, you dirty, dirty sinners, that concludes today's version of a walk through Creation Museum. Oh, yeah, thank you. This weekend, I'm going to go long. It's Friday. And I'm going to be casual about the format. This weekend marks Ronald Reagan's 100th birthday, as we said. A couple of things to remind you about. Of course, we had that conversation with Will Bunch, who wrote the book on Reagan's legacy. But just a couple of highlights. Sarah Palin will deliver the keynote address at a gala being mounted at Reagan's former ranch in Santa Barbara, California. That's fantastic. I really, really hope that that Mubarak leaves on Sunday. I really, really just don't think I could stomach what we'll see on Sunday. In his second term, this is from David Korn. A couple things to remember about Reagan. He took steps to improve relations with the Soviet Union, a nation that was crumbling in turn, and this détente made it easier for Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev to continue his perestroika reforms that would mark the end of the USSR. Past Sunday was Reagan's birthday, or this Sunday's was Reagan's birthday? I think it's this Sunday. Reagan, who raised taxes after he cut them, saddled the nation with large deficits and did little as a massive wave of deindustrialization, and it hit working-class Americans. During the Reagan years, wages for middle and low-income families dropped. He also helped attack unions. Reagan administration routinely made common cause with tyrants. It got cozy with the fascist, anti-Semitic, torture-fancying generals, the Argentinian junta, and backed human rights abusing governments throughout Latin America. The administration tried to cover up massive massacres of civilians in El Salvador because it was the backing the right-wing military there. Hello, John Negroponte. It resisted efforts to oppose and isolate racist leaders of apartheid South Africa, enthusiastically endorsed the dictatorship of Fernan Marcos in the Philippines. It was involved, obviously, in Iran-Contra, selling weapons to Iran to raise money for a secret unconstitutional funding of the Contra rebels in Nicaragua. Was it Nicaragua?
Salvador.
El Salvador. Coming in from, they were raiding from Nicaragua. The CIA produced an assassination manual for the Contras, which is nice. It's nice. CIA Inspector General also said that they were basically using drug runners for all this and giving them free pass into the States. What are you going to do? Just say no. When they ask you if you know what's going on. The administration involvement in this war led to the Iran-Contra scandal. Then, of course, there was the 1980s savings and loan scandal. Caused at least in part by the administration's aversion to even minimal regulation. And, you know, I got news for you. You know what these financiers learned from the savings and loan scandal? Government's always going to bail us out. You just got to make sure that you don't have any fingerprints on this shit. That is what is known as moral hazard. Top Reagan aide Michael Deaver, convicted of perjury related to influence peddling. The Department of Housing and Urban Development, Republican wired consultants, pocketed millions for rigged contracts. Gave private tax credits to private schools that segregated. Not so great on AIDS. So, I mean, the list goes on, but they're going to try and put him on the dime this weekend. And, well, you know what? I'm going to talk about the internet kill switch bill on Monday. Folks, oh, couple of house cleaning things. One, why are you people not becoming members of the Majority Report? I am lagging against my projections. In other words, I'm disappointed in you people. I thought more of you. I need more members, folks. But I also have another way that we have just introduced to the site where you can help. There's two things. One, you can donate your Twitter account. You can allow us to use your Twitter account once a month, once a week, or once a day just to get the word out there. We already have, I think, like, I can't quite tell. I think 30 or 40 people who have done this. Mostly on a daily basis, but if you want to do once a month, once a week, big help to us. And we've just put an Amazon box on the Majority Report. It's down the right-hand column, all the way down. Anything you buy that you search for, first through that box, it'll take you to the site. We will get a piece of. I don't know how much we get, but it every little bit helps. So if you can help us out, do it. The Twitter thing, the Amazon thing, you're going to do that anyways. So help us out. And, of course, justcoffee.coop. Every time you buy coffee, chocolate, tea, I think anything that you can buy on that site, you will use the word majority in the coupon code box, you get 10% off. We see some of that. You know what I'm saying? Some of that. I'm not using it enough. There you go. All right, stick around. You can IM me at Majority FM. Have a great weekend, folks. We'll be right back. was just explaining to people that I discovered this song when I was making A Bad Situationist, and it was one of the temp tracks for the end of the movie. And because this was a French ya-ya song, which, like, Guy Debord and, what the heck was her name? Another French singer. And I had these songs throughout the whole movie because the Situationist hated them. And but I couldn't get the rights. I didn't even bother to try because I wasn't going to pay anything extra for that movie that was so bizarre and messed up. And so I had Dave Derby knock off a bunch of these songs. They're really good. I mean, he's got a great – I got to see – I don't think I have that. Gosh, what the name was that? I don't think I have it on my iTunes. I got to see if I can dig up the Bad Situationist soundtrack. But it's
I think if anybody decided to make, like, a 90s movie, you know, nowadays, like, oh, this was the 90s, and they needed a soundtrack, you know, use songs that from the 90s that sound 90s, they could use Derby's stuff, and it would, you know, people would go like, oh, yeah, I've heard that song before, but you didn't.
Well, all these songs that,
well,
yeah.
He just seems like yeah. His
well,
style,
he's got, yeah, I mean, he actually, his stuff is actually, he used to do a lot of stuff with Lloyd Cole. You don't know Lloyd Cole? He was from back in the 80s more. And Dave was in a really great band called the Dam Builders, which was a really big band in Boston back in the day. And his stuff is really great. It's all on iTunes. And it's good. Super good. Okay, let's go to the IMs, shall we? Yo, Sammy. Oh, wait, I jumped ahead. Hold on for a second. Neferkitty. Hi, Sammy. Please, no, I do not do the Twitter. Otherwise, of course, I would want, oh, of course, Nefer. But I think it's an awesome idea and program that you guys are putting together will really make a big impact, not just promoting the show, but forwarding tech. Well, I can't take any credit for that whatsoever. It's all Kyle. Kyle is, Kyle Schenk is, it's like a, he's a genius, you know, it's, he, I don't know if he's a genius. I'm not smart enough to really know about this stuff. But all I know is that I follow his blog and read about all this stuff that I don't understand. It's actually sort of funny because he's always like, hey, guys, just did an OMG on an LFC, and I've got the IP3 coming in, and it looks like all I need to do is fix the terminal connecting point, and if I get that done, I'll just be able to put this through a fuzzy four, and then we're going to be able to rock this thing. And cannot figure out what the fuck he's talking about. Like, I know he's developing something that seems to be exciting. And it's open source. But then I can't tell what it is. Like, literally, there was something he tweeted last night. He's like, on stage two, blah, blah, and I get there, and I'm just like, I don't understand any of the words in this. Restory Pro is fantastic. For anyone who doesn't have Netflix, it's on National Geographic Channel. Oh, if anybody knows how to hack your Roku to get a TV service on it, let me know. I'm online. I'm starting to look for that stuff.
I'm on it.
There's got to be a way to hack that stuff, right?
I don't know. I don't even know what it is yet, but I'll figure it out.
Gulfstream 2. Morning, Sam. Did you look at political pornology? Is it total bullshit? I haven't taken a look at it yet. I'm sorry. Majority follower. Couldn't listen to the feed on the homepage. Had to go to SammyCam to hear the feed. Keeps cutting out. There's no video feed. Now I can hear the feed from the homepage. Said that 11:44. Huh. We got to get that. Poor Sklar's. Boom. You have to get Ross Broccoli on the show, says Kyle. Yeah. Yeah. I do got to get Broccoli on the show. He would be a great Casual Friday guest. Post-show Casual Friday. Have you seen Inside Job? Which one's that? Is that the Marky Mark one? What's that? What's Inside Job?
No, I think that's like a Wall Street movie or something. Like a documentary. Let me check it out.
Oh.
Oh, I think I know that one.
Send me a link to that.
No, actually, Matt Damon. Will Ackman. Not a doc. Well, yeah. Excuse me. It is a documentary.
With Matt Damon?
With Matt Damon. Maybe he's doing the voiceover.
All right, send it to me. Banksy is a real actual artist. He has somehow managed to keep his identity secret, which is amazing considering his success. Yeah, I know that. I know that Banksy probably exists, or someone who calls himself Banksy, or multiple people calls himself Banksy, but I don't know if that's the Banksy who did the documentary. The Ark Encounter, yes, Superfunk. Yes, it's the same people. It's the theme park in Superfunk 272 says a different guy did the doc. Yeah. In fact, I went on with Chris Hayes on Olbermann when he was filling in for Olbermann to talk about that theme park. Tim Johnson, hello from Bangkok, Thailand, Sam. Wow.
Sweet.
When did you head there? Can't help but compare the Egyptian revolution to the Thai red shit insurrection. The Thai revolutionaries were crushed by pro-government sharpshooters in the military, which was key. The difference, Egypt is the military, a conscript army, the largest in Africa. Yep. The key difference from Bangkok riots, number of protesters in Thailand, 50 million, Egypt, 80 million. Protest numbers in Bangkok, red shirts, oh, red shirt, at most 200,000. Cairo mob, at least 2 million. I don't know. By the way, I'm now a member of the Majority Report. Oh, well, sir, in that case. Thank you, Tim Johnson. Great to hear from you.
Hey, that's the red shirt.
Red shirt, yes. I know. I corrected it. Beck accuses Soros, Free Press, EPA, and FCC of a white-collar version of what Osama bin Laden is trying to do. Sunday was Reagan's birthday. I meant was, as in he's not celebrating it anymore. Oh, right. It's the anniversary, I think, of what I said, of his corpse. It's the anniversary in which his corpse entered into the world. Gatoron, why are the Creationist Museum guards armed with tasers? Because there's so many whack jobs who come there. I don't know.
Did you follow? Did you get that message I sent you? The guy was live tweeting from his trip to the.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you check it?
Some of it.
Yeah.
In case atheists try to attack, crazy atheists always resorting to violence. Yes, thankfully Christians have never started any violence. Yes, exactly, Gatoron. Look, I got news for you. It caters to a wide swath of people who believe that the world is only 7,000 years old. So I would carry tasers too. I'm happy now. Post-show after... Oh, no. Sam, I believe the term housekeeping is rather than house cleaning. I love your listexia. Did I say house cleaning?
I thought you said housekeeping, but I'm...
You know, it doesn't matter. I think both can be used. I don't believe that it should be housekeeping. I've also got some house cleaning to do. I've got both. Believe me, if I didn't do some house cleaning, this place would be a mess. People should promote the show on progressive blogs. I never hear you mentioned. Art Noisens. Well, I don't know what blogs you go to, but I think we get some play on Democratic Underground, on America Blog.
Atrios gives us a shout out every now and again.
Atrios. Yeah, I mean, you know, frankly, I haven't been terribly aggressive about sending stuff out to bloggers because I want to get this show really down to where I want it. So I think when we start to sequester the podcast, which... Kyle, what's happening? Kyle, is that happening? I know. Art. No, okay. Chris, I downloaded Pilot Light from eMusic last night, listened to it once, and now it's stuck in my head. Good tune, can't get it out. Oh, was it on eMusic too? Good.
Yeah, somebody asked for an alternative to iTunes, and I put that up there, and it worked.
I'm a big fan of eMusic. In fact, my good friend is the CEO. Yeah, so I had to watch this whole thing where eMusic used to be sort of much better set up, but it was difficult because they had only independent music, and it just wasn't sustainable, sadly. Jimmy Reefer Cake, I loved Exit Through the Gift Shop. Best quote from the main character of the movie, I don't know how to play chess, but to me, life is a game of chess. Sammy, you should catch the Pixies documentary on Netflix, Loud, Quiet, Loud. Me and Mrs. Reefer Cake love that one on Netflix, too. Rosen needs to bone up on the Netflix. I know.
That's supposed to be good, that documentary. I've heard good things.
Yeah, I mean, I got a bunch of great stuff on my Netflix queue that I haven't watched. He's just looking. He just goes to the recently watched. That's his problem. And what's the point of that? I mean, that's contrary to the whole point of Netflix on some level, right? I mean, that's what On Demand does. He's lazy. He doesn't even watch Battlestar Galactica, for God's sakes. It's probably the single best television show. It could be the best television show almost ever.
I'll back you up on that.
And I'm not even a, you know, I'm not a sci-fi fan. I don't watch sci-fi stuff. Have you watched it, Dorsey?
No.
Well, you should check it out, dude. Just go and...
MASH was the best television show ever, by the way. Just wanted to throw that in there.
Go. You know what you do? The beautiful thing about this with Battlestar Galactica is all you need to do is download the first, like, four-hour special.
Yeah, the miniseries.
The miniseries. And then you can decide, do I want to make this commitment or not? But watch the miniseries. And if you're not hooked after the miniseries...
No saving you.
But it is really fantastic. There was one season that was like, okay, like the second or third season. But then it was just fantastic. And we're very close to the new Survivor season, which is going to be very exciting.
Do you like Amazing Race?
No.
Yeah, just Survivor.
No. The only reality show I watch is Survivor. I don't watch any others. And it really was the original.
Eh.
No? What?
I thought The Real World was the original reality show.
Well.
It's different.
I guess that's a reality show. This is the first reality game show that came to American television.
See, it was like Survivor originally because, you know, whoever survived that show and had a career, there you go. You win. You win The Real World.
I took a leak next to, like, I think it was the guy who referred to himself in the third person. A lot of them did, didn't they? I don't know. I didn't see
it. You mean from the original?
Yeah.
The Eric Nice guy?
No, I don't know. I don't remember.
The grind guy?
That's a really poor entry for me.
Oh, Jimmy Reefercake watched Lenny last night. Yeah, Lenny was pretty good. Yesterday, 6:48. Yesterday, you contrasted taking over a website to confiscating assets after a conviction. But they don't need a conviction to take your stuff. Most local anti-drug task forces are self-funded this way. It would make a great show about how about a membership of $5 a month would be doable for me. I donated my Twitter, but I only have one follower. Well, anything you buy through Amazon, and we will soon have another means for people to... To do stuff, but send me an email. You know, if you need, send me an email. If you cannot afford a membership, send me an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com. And when we do the sequestering, which should be happening soon, just waiting for it to happen. Jeff, 2223. Besides George Soros, where's the left? Pete Peterson, which one is it? Don't care, threat to economic interests, don't participate, but hasn't had much success as Peterson in driving the agenda? Well, Soros is not even the left's Pete Peterson. We don't have a left's Pete Peterson. We don't have a left Koch brothers. We simply don't. Not even close. And the problem is it's very difficult to create that person because Pete Peterson... It's not just ideological. His ideology puts money in his pockets. Do you understand? That Pete Peterson's constituency, his followers, are far more like him than George Soros is to the left. That's just the bottom line. And, you know... Our George Soros will have to end up being someone like a you know, someone who just sort of happened to strike it rich. You know what I mean? Like someone who invented, like, oh, I invented Facebook. Like it would, you know, but, you know, the guy from Harvard's not necessarily going to be that guy. I am thinking of Puck. Thank you. I took a leak next to him. He was like, hey. And I'm like, hey, aren't you on that show? It was back before it was really that big. He goes, are you asking if I'm Puck? I'm the Puck, whatever it was. Yeah.
Seriously, man, his name dropped Friday. Ran out of steam so quickly.
Oh, God damn it. I forgot. I just sent an email to Isabel Gillies the other day, who is supposedly listening today. I doubt she's listening this. You know, we all know Isabel Gillies is, right? Maybe you haven't watched SVU. She is that guy's wife on there. She's a best-selling author. It Happens All the Time, I think, is the name of her book. That's not a big deal. I wouldn't worry about it too much. Just a friend of mine. Not a big deal.
Name drop Friday.
Trying to think if I get any other names I can drop. Oh, no. You should tell Chris Rosen, Senior Executive Vice Chancellor of the Supreme Allied Movie Line Empire, that Parks and Recreation isn't funny. It's an interesting commentary on the inside politics of local government. It's like Spin City meets The Office, only not funny. I mean, it's funny in the way that SNL is funny at midnight on the Saturday night when you're high as a kite.
I had to clip something from Parks and Recreation the other day, and man, it was really not funny.
No, I've tried to give it a shot.
I mean, it was just giving.
I love Amy Poehler. Mm. I've known Amy Poehler before, you know, like the day that she moved to New York with the Upright Citizens Brigade.
There we go.
Named Friday.
I knew the UCB guys before there was a UCB theater. Walsh. Matt Walsh. Pfft. Are you kidding me? I used to make fun of Matt Walsh when he had hair. No, I didn't. He didn't. I don't think he had hair. And I didn't really make fun of him. It's not funny. I'll tell you something. I'm going to give Chris a copy of Pilot Season. And if he says, like, if he doesn't come back and tell me it's the best show he's ever watched, then I think it could be the end of his segment. Because it's an incredibly high-quality show. This show was on Trio, folks, and it was a 6-part miniseries. And almost every critic in the country at that time said it was one of the 10 best of the year. It was on Trio. Nobody saw it.
John Hamm saw it.
No, John Hamm.
I always saw Beat Cops.
Beat Cops.
Yeah. Saw Beat Cops. Name Drop Friday.
Frisbane, Gmail. Hi, Sam and crew. Just checking in with a report that the stream worked without a hitch today. Thank you. On previous days, it would cut out a few times of the show. Sound quality is good today as well. Good. Good, good, good. I think we just got a new server. Did we already do that?
We haven't already did that, but we cleaned out the old one.
Yeah. House cleaning.
House cleaning.
Yeah. Michael Ponareft, original on iTunes. I mean, on YouTube.
The French song.
I don't hear it. Oh, somebody did a cool video.
The crazy sunglasses?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. There's a good live performance of him on that also where he's got the sunglasses. And his back is turned to the audience.
Oh, really?
Interesting. I don't know if there's an audience there, but it's set up so that he's facing his band.
I like it. I really like that song. Thank you. Thank you, Trip. upbeat nihilist. I'm pretty sure that Exit Through the Gift Shop was an attempt by Banksy to mock and counter the art for cash crowd that's trying to capitalize on street art. Mr. Brainwash was probably legit initially, but his show and the work in it look like a Banksy stunt meant to show that people will buy anything given the appropriate buzz. Yeah, I mean, it's clearly... That's what's so fascinating about this, because in addition to it being incredibly entertaining, the movie, just sort of interesting, then you start to sort of like think about the different levels of reality here, the commentary, the social. I'm going to end up watching that movie like three or four times. So the other crap that Rosen comes on here pushes. That dude got like stock and... like the remainder bins at Walmart or something. Heath and Steven. Hey, I was born on Worcester. Can I be on your show too? Haha. Well, first of all, who's the other person from Worcester? Miss Benjamin. John Benjamin.
No, who did you find out was from Worcester?
John Rogers, the guy. Yeah, I may have him on. John Benjamin. This guy.
FUBAR, America's right-wing nightmare.
Did people see the AP story on him?
No.
I only mentioned it because I was in it. But, you know, John Benjamin has his own show on Comedy Central coming out soon. Star of Archer and Bob's Burgers. Name Drop Friday. Name Drop Friday. I guess it's not that big of a name to drop the guy who does the voices for Majority Report. Sounds so sinister when you say you're going to sequester the show. Threatening. Yes! Do you get paid proportionally to the Amazon purchase costs? I'm thinking of buying a new computer. I could buy it through Amazon. I got to get a percentage, right?
I have no idea.
Does anybody know how it works with Amazon? All I know is that, like, look, it was hard. It's not easy for me to go and figure out, like, go how to make the widget. Go put the widget in the thing. This is not my bag, folks. I went to college with a Smith Corona. Do you understand? We had these like big like cartridges that would hold like a paper, like a 20-page document. And you put it into like this other device that connected to your Smith Corona. So you'd be typing on a typewriter and it would go into a screen and everyone was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Somebody will answer in just a second, Morella. But you know, you should buy a car. Can you buy a car on Amazon? David, seriously? Battlestar Galactica did nothing for me? What? Whoa. You just rocked my world. Man. Necro Famicon. Is the guy from the real world you're thinking of? Puck. Oh, yeah. Avant. I tried Parks and Rec because of Chris Murray, but it really wasn't funny, and the fake documentary of the style was a huge turnout. Excuse me? I should tell you right now, Avant, and I don't know how you don't know this, because we should be sending Avant every piece of swag that we have. Avant, will you send Dorsey your address? Because we're sending you... What do we got lying around the office? Do you need a, like, what do we got extra? Do you need
used coffee cup
or like a piece of rope? I see a rope. We're going to send you so much stuff. But Pilot Season is fake documentary. But if you saw the original Office, you know, that was amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I understand that there's a sequel to the original British Office, which I'm going to check out, I think. But Caboose was also a mock documentary. It was really based more on real life. 30 Rock with Alec Baldwin was 200 times funnier than Parks. Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
John Hamm was in 30 Rock. Did you know that you went to Sarah Silverman's birthday party and met him? I did, actually. Yes. You know, Jeff Lipschultz was there. Lipschitz. I mean, he calls himself Jeff Ross now. Who else was there? Just the whole gang. Oh, Ron Howard. It's sort of sad, though, that I'm still talking about this 2 months later. The style of the U.S. Office. There is a Christmas UK special after season two. Yeah, I've seen that, too. But now I think there's another one that may not be. I'm not sure. Hi, Sam. Please explain one undone board. Please explain Glenn Beck's motives to me. I don't understand. Is he schizo? P.S. I feel terrible because I was the one who put the dyslexia idea into your head a couple years ago. So I asked you if you were, and your response suggests you'd never even thought of it before. And since then, you talk about it all the time. Well, first of all, don't apologize for the dyslexia thing, because it's actually been very helpful for me, because I think growing up, I had a real problem that it never occurred to me. I just thought I was a bad speller, even when I was looking at the word. If there are certain things I think that kids grow up with that they simply assume are normal. I think that happens all the time. And I would probably be significantly more successful if my parents cared as much as you do, one undone board. But they didn't, so I'm not. It's their fault. It's their fault. Yes, I can explain Glenn Beck's motives to you. It will take, it's one part this, another part this, one part that, and then about five parts. And I would add drugs in there too, you know, from an early age. But now I think he's just batshit crazy.
Plus the plummeting ratings. I mean, he just lost New York in radio.
Really?
Right. Yeah, he lost WOR.
I'm sure that's not helping.
Yes, that's definitely not helping. I just don't know, like, I would have better insight into this if I was just somewhat more ambitious, just to know, like, to what extent you will go. And the thing is that on the left, you know, you get there, there is still that currency of, like, you know, sort of legitimacy is relevant to people. I mean, you know, the reason why MSNBC is different from Fox is because I think most of the people on MSNBC would just take some measure of pride in being accurate and being thoughtful. And at Fox, you do not. And if you're not, then you hear from it from your own side. On the right, you don't hear that. I mean, the number of voices who are calling out Glenn Beck or Limbaugh or Hannity on the right is so infinitesimally small. That's the real shocking thing. Is that, like, is there any legitimate conservative thinkers who will publicly deride these people? Very rarely. And when they do, they become apostates. They become, you know, I don't particularly like what's his faces at Atlantic.
Sullivan?
Sullivan's politics. But I respect them for at least, you know, sort of being willing to sort of say, distance himself from certain characters on the right, whether it was George Bush at one point or whomever. David Frum, you know, I don't agree with his pop, but at least, you know, I have some measure of respect for his, at least, you know, saying this is a bridge too far. Kathleen Parker, same thing. I mean, I have other problems with all these people, and frankly, I have problems with all people. I've just about named all of them.
Mark McKinnon, maybe.
Yeah,
you got it. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, he's not really. He's just more of, like, you know, a centrist.
Yeah, but I mean,
dude, haven't you seen his leather coat?
Yeah, yes. No. Speaking of somebody who wears scarves all the time, that guy needs to take a break from the scarf.
Like on the TV?
On the TV, on the stage, everywhere. It's like he's in Colorado all the time.
Well, I will say, the only thing I will say in his defense, I don't know if you've seen Hang 'Em High, the Clint Eastwood movie. Clint Eastwood also wore a bandana around his neck all the time because he was hiding the scar of the time that they tried to hang him.
I mean, it's not like he's wearing an ascot. He's wearing like...
I know. I've seen it. It looks like he's... I mean, somebody...
He looks like Don Imus without the hat.
He's trying to... You know, it's smart in this respect because he's the guy with the scarf.
That's true.
But then it's bad in this respect that, like, first of all, people who watch the news, you know, I think, like, when you're a political consultant like he is, you got to have, a hook. Mm. You got to have, like, that's his shtick.
What's Bob Schrum's shtick?
Losing. He's the guy who loses.
Yes, he does.
Kevin Semicolon, if Rosen is ever sick or unavailable, you get Stephanie Zaracek on. Zacharek. Who's that? Oh, she Flip Critic on Twitter? Oh, maybe I'll have to do that.
There.
Rosen will be pissed.
Yeah, I'm not going there.
She's also at Movie Line. Oh! You know what we got to do when we have we bring both of them on sometime.
Have him on and don't let him know that she's coming.
Right.
Who's the more senior editor?
Yeah, that's what we should do. That actually, we write her name down because this and you know what will be good too. He'll say, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Well, we talked about this. When? On the show? Don't you listen to the show?" As you can see, I obviously go to Movie Line. How else would I know to bring Stephanie on? My TV list is topped by The Wire. Ah! Got to agree. Wire's fantastic. Deadwood, I haven't seen. 6 Feet Under.
Watch Deadwood.
I know. I want to watch Deadwood. I want to watch Deadwood. 6 Feet Under, you got to be kidding. Twin Peaks, okay. There's no room for Battlestar? For insights into Beck's psyche, don't miss the excerpt of his book about his desire for his sister. Read aloud and dramatized here. Read aloud and dramatized here. This content contained material flagged by YouTube that may be inappropriate for some users. Not worried. Ugh, I can't get into my... Forget about it. I'll do that later. Son of a gun. I may go a little long today. 5 minutes long. It's Casual Friday, folks. Don't be all like, why am I listening to this podcast? Sam's just mumbling into this. A judge in Wichita blocks a doctor from filing a vacancy created by the murder of Dr. George Tiller. Filling a vacancy. Wow. According to a lawsuit, Foliage Development, Inc. filed on January 28th, Means requested permission from her landlord last fall to begin offering abortion services in her office later this year. The landlord turned it down, maintaining that it would violate the lease by creating a clear nuisance and disturbing to the peaceful possession of other tenants. The nuisance, however, would stem from protesters the landlord anticipates, not from anything it Means would do. Also, you could put Weigel in the small group of conservatives actually reality-based. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I would agree. Maybe we'll have Weigel on someday. I'd like to. I like him, personally. Greenwald pointed out something I was unaware of. Tucker Carlson is the heir to the Swanson frozen dinner fortune. I didn't know that.
I've heard that.
A friend of mine went to boarding school with him at St. George's where he was a huge stoner. That I don't doubt. Janine says he's pretty nice. And, you know, the guys who worked at MSNBC, like the camera crew, they were like, when Tucker used to work there, like, Tucker's a good guy.
Yeah, I knew a guy who worked as an assistant for him for a couple of years, said he was very, very nice.
Tucker's, though, really cynical. I mean, I think he's got to be just hugely cynical and now sort of like trying to... I don't know what it is in a guy like that who has that type of money waiting for him that he feels he has to debase himself in the way that he has with the Daily Caller. That thing has become just sort of like, let's put it this way. Tucker Carlson The Daily Caller could only exist if Andrew Breitbart wasn't such a fraud. Do you understand? Like, you know, Andrew Breitbart opens up the playing field to the point where you literally, you know, the National Enquirer becomes the New York Times.
The other thing about the Caller, I had it in my reading.
Name Drop Friday. I just mentioned Tucker Carlson and the camera crew.
The camera crew. The thing about the Caller was it clogged up my RSS feed with football. It was like, okay, we are manly, because it was like every single football score, football news, football, college football, you know, community college football. I couldn't take it anymore. So I mean, I don't even go to the site anymore because of that.
From the Real World season, i.e. San Fran with Puck, Rachel married Sean from the Boston season, and now Sean is a congressman, major conservative dick, and so is she. I have not.
Was Rachel the doctor?
Please don't say that. Check the Amazon box on Majority FM. Doesn't seem to work. Oh, darn it. What? Are you serious? Why? I guess I should have tested it out. I was so, it's like, there it is. How could it not work? Why wouldn't it work? Search. Books.
Doesn't take you to the site. Ugh. That's horrible.
I'll change it. I'll do a different one. That's stupid. All right, well, folks, don't worry. I mean, go there. Just wait, like, 3 hours, and it'll be changed. Thank you, Gulfstream. Shanksoft, I know how to do the Amazon thing. Not that hard. Money, profit. Yeah, I put it up there. I just didn't know how to work it. Neferkitty, Rachel was the one who was from. I don't really remember it that well. Tim Johnson, you are a great success. God bless you. You're my hero, Sam Cedar. Oh well, thank you. By the way, absolutely no Thai weed available in Thailand. No good weed, anyways. Well, there are certain areas where I think you can get quite big of trouble. Aim to be as successful as Democracy Now, 1 to 2 million per year. What is that, views? Democracy Now is hugely successful. I do something different from them. They are a reportage. Harold. So what? I was born in Portland, Oregon, almost named Boston, lost to Maine on a coin flip. Worcester, geez. Ron Howard, rest of development, movie confirmed. Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Samicam audio is a split second ahead of the smartphone feed, says Gateron. Chris, always test different browsers, PC and a Mac. Yes. Jimmy Reefer Cake, working on the latest song, Reefer Cake debut on the drums. Send me an email, please. Frisbin, Charlton Heston wore a scarf in Soylent Green. Upbeat Nihilist, recommend Little Britain in Netflix in Great Kids in the Hall style British comedy. Little Britain. Morella. I wish I could buy a car. Situation was also a fake documentary. We're trying to make fun of French intellectuals with their salons and stuff. Salons. Situations was not a fake documentary. It was just sort of shot handheld. Was I trying to make fun of French intellectuals with their salons and stuff? Sure. Also, check out Ron Reagan. Palin has nothing in common with that. Ouch, that's got to sting. Yeah, I knew that was coming. Avant. Battlestar. Do you ever watch Extras? Yes. That show is pretty good. Not great, but good. Battlestar was probably the best TV series in the past 20 years. After that, watching that miniseries, I was hooked. Indeed. Seven Chemical. Amazon widget works fine on Firefox. Yeah, it works. It just doesn't take you to the page. It just searches right there, I think. Don't be a putz. Meanwhile, Matthews has gone insane on Beck and Bachman. It's fascinating to see how everyone moves to fill the Oberman void. Yes, I agree. Sank mentioned yesterday for the first time he's dropped the prompter on MSNBC and spoke live. Oh, interesting.
Wow.
Good for him. I had heard, you know, I hadn't seen the show since he'd taken over, but I heard the prompter wasn't good for him.
which I missed.
Cenk dropped the prompter on MSNBC.
Good. Yeah, it was not working.
Yes, on Netflix. Have you watched the documentaries on Howard Zinn? No, but I've seen One Bright Shining Moment, and the McGovern thing is great. I'm going to watch that again.
You know, there's an. Did you see the? It's like a documentary, but they also do dramatic reenactments of like Hiroshima.
No.
Almost like hour by hour, minute by minute, what was going on there. It's like, you know, take the weekend off. It's not, of course, it's not like happy-go-lucky, but it's really good.
Mm.
And I don't like that kind of like dramatic recreation stuff. But they also have interviews with, you know, some of the survivors, like the last survivors, people that were, you know, like, I don't know, 200, 300, 400 feet from the blast site, but they're in a building. And it's just amazing. Crazy. Oh.
Send me the link. CC says, I like the idea of a woman movie critic. You can sell it to Rosen as he said, she said, to get movies you and Nikki can watch together. Ah. Okay. Fair enough. Is the Battlestar miniseries the same as season one? No. That's the beauty of it. Get the miniseries. It's only four episodes. And then season one starts from there. It's a little complicated, I think. Right? That's the way it works. I'm pretty sure that's the way it works.
Yeah, it's like a, what, four-hour, two-part miniseries, yeah. And then season one.
I'll put the Arrested Development on Facebook. All right, folks. Thank you for joining us. Check out this Amazon box. I think this is going to be a winner for us. A big winner. A big winner. All right, folks, have a great weekend. We will see you on Monday. Going to have a great weekend. Oh, yeah. Go Pack. Ers. The choice was made for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess somehow I lost my drive.